movie trailers have become real effective, in my opinion. Movie producers have learned how to give you the gist of the movie they've produced in just a couple of minutes that makes you say, I want to go see that movie. Sometimes they give you what they've produced in that trailer and you think, I don't want to go see what they've produced. And sometimes they put forth a trailer that seems like it's really going to be a good movie. And you watch it and you're disappointed because it just did not deliver. I believe Revelation chapters 21 and 22 are God's movie trailers. Not merely for a 2 or even 3 hour experience, but for eternity. Will the experience fall short of the trailer? Well, He created the heavens and the earth and how spectacular they are. And He has promised that what is coming is far better than what we have now. And the one making these promises always keeps His promises. He's never once failed in even the slightest promise. Therefore, I don't think we'll be disappointed. But we shall probably conclude that the trailer fell far short of the experience, if it's okay to say that the Word of God fell short. We will probably say, like the Queen of Sheba, the half was not told to us. Or we'll probably use a much smaller fraction than that. What then was the last thing that God wanted to tell us in the book of Revelation and truly in the Bible? Well, let's take a look. Begin at verse 1, He wanted to show us some real unique things. And here He shows us a unique river. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. John had just seen a magnificent city, a spectacular city. As I showed you last Lord's Day evening when we took a look at Revelation 21. What more is there? Could there be any more that He'd want to show us? Well, John saw a pure river of water of life, that its purity was so grand he compared it to clear crystal. And it's because of the source of this river. It flowed right from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He then showed us in verse 2 that there's a unique tree there. Excuse me. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Look, according to the New King James Version here, running right down the middle of the gold-paved street and on both sides of the river is the tree of life. What Adam and Eve saw was a shadow. But we will see the real one. And notice it's not just one. It's not a single tree, but rather it is a forest. It's a whole grove. I think the picture that's being given is that it's everywhere. So many people being there, will I ever get a chance to get to the tree? Yes. God makes sure that there's access for everyone. So look what we have in the first two verses. The greatest pleasures, some of the greatest pleasures of earthly existence, eating and drinking, continues in heaven by God giving us a river of life and a tree of life. And there'll be plenty of fruit to eat from the tree of life because it bears 12 fruits. In other words, 12 different kinds of fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree are even good for medicinal uses, for the healing of everyone. And by the way, all this imagery is found in Ezekiel 47:12. So this is not the first time you read of it in Revelation 22 here. Next in verse 3, there's some unique service there. John wrote, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." Adam and Eve had pure waters where they lived, and they had the tree of life. But they also had the possibility of a curse, bringing a harder life and death. Whereas we will have all the good and none of the bad, because there is nothing there that can hurt us. Remember how chapter 21 began? There's no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and there is no more pain. It is a curse-free place. Praise God. Rather than curses keeping us from the throne of God, John said, God's throne will be right there. And we shall serve God directly. We serve God now, but we'll be in His presence to be able to go right up to Him and serve Him, and to serve the Lamb. And Luke chapter 12 says the Lamb will serve us. That's a whole nother sermon there. Verse 4, Revelation 22. A unique sight. There is a unique sight there. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Did you hear John say that we shall see God's face? Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. We sang that as our first song tonight. The moment we get that first glimpse of His face, we'll say, it was worth it. I finally get to see His face. Of course, we're going to see much more, but just the moment that happens, the moment we're there and we can see the face of God finally, all that we suffered, all that we worked, man, it was worth it. We shall see Him who means more to us than anyone or anything. And His name shall be on our foreheads. Serve Christ now, and you will not have to worry about the mark of the beast, but we'll have the name of God on our foreheads. Verse 5. A unique light. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The old system of this present universe will be gone, replaced by a new one where night is just not a reality. Now, lights are not needed outside during the day here. I mean, right now it's still sunny outside and the street lights have not come on. Porch lights are not on, but that's because the sun is there. But in this new place, the sun doesn't exist. Remember Revelation 20, verse 11, that the heavens and the earth fled at the presence of God. So, are we going to stumble around in the dark? No. God Himself provides light. I don't mean that He's holding a flashlight or that He lights a lamp and lets it shine. He Himself is a light. Our God is so glorious that just the light emanating from Him provides the light for this place where we shall go. And then John said, we shall reign forever and ever. Not just for 1,000 years. But we shall reign forever and ever because death has ceased to exist. According to Revelation 20, 11 to 15, death was thrown into the lake of fire, so we can't die. That sounds pretty fantastic, doesn't it? Could that possibly be true? Listen to verse 6. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Does this all seem impossible? The angel assured John, who in turn assured us, that these words that John has written are faithful. They're loyal and true. The God who sent the prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place, he said. And in the tradition of Amos 3:7, where God said, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. In that tradition, God wanted his servants today to know the things that were and are coming. Having said that, he then gives us the sixth beatitude of the book of Revelation. Verse 7 says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Jesus is coming quickly. The Bible always presents the return of Christ as happening quickly. From God's vantage point, it is something that is happening quickly. And when it finally does happen, it will seem to us like it happened quickly. And then he said, you know, blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. You see, the promises of the book of Revelation are not for everyone. Although God wants them to be for everyone, we have to be qualified. And the qualification is, keep the words of the prophecy of this book. And man, they're yours then. Make sure you worship God. Verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Now picture, if you can in your mind, through these 22 chapters, what John has seen, and hear what he has heard. John will not see any more signs and symbols. From the first appearance of the glorified Christ in chapter 1 to the appearance of the glorified bride of Christ in chapters 21, there have been some awesome and frightening sights. And most of the time, this angel has been right there with John. Like, imagine that. First of all, an angel standing with you, and he's talking with you, and he looks glorious because he's a heavenly being. Then he shows you all these things, and when you can tell that it's finally all over, and you're overwhelmed by the whole experience, well, like John, you'd be compelled to fall down and worship the angel. However, the angel refused the worship. Angels are not to be worshipped. No one and nothing, no thing, except God is to be worshipped. And the angel gave John four reasons for not worshipping him, and we would say for worshipping any angel. Number one, the angel was John's fellow servant. Now maybe that was hard for John to grasp, and it would be for me. I mean, what would you think if an angel appeared right now in all his glorious light, and it's obvious he's an angel? Well, I think we'd be tempted to do what John did, and to think this angel puts us on the same plane or level with him. That's what he was telling him. Secondly, he said that the angel was a fellow servant of John's brethren, the prophets. John, you wouldn't worship Isaiah or Jeremiah or Elijah or Moses. Why worship me? We're all servants together. Now, I don't know about you, but I think of angels and prophets and the apostles as being greater than me. I look up to them. I wish I could be like them. But did you notice further what this angel said? He also said that the angel is a fellow servant of those who keep the words of this prophecy. So that means us. This angel said, "John, I'm a fellow servant with those saints who will be meeting in Grants Pass, Oregon in the year 2007. Now, to me, that's phenomenal. I just can't imagine that. I'm on the same level with the apostles. I'm on the same level with the prophets. You mean to tell me that an angel and I stand together before God? He's not between me and God or higher than me? No. Wow. And then finally, he just said plainly, worship God. Verse 10. Everyone needs to see and hear these things. So the angel said to John, and he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Do not seal up this book, John, like Daniel was told to seal up his book. Do not seal up this book like you were supposed to seal up the utterance of the seven thunders in Revelation 10. No, all this here, John, you make it plain. You write it out and make copies, have others make copies. The world, especially the church, needs to know these things. Verse 11. God has nothing more to say to His people, or to the world for that matter. So in verse 11 He said, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." God has done everything to make the unjust just and to make the filthy clean. Therefore, he who will not change will not change. He'll remain the same. God has done everything to keep the righteous righteous and the holy holy, so let them not look for anything else. But let them remain as they are. Remember, the Lord is returning, verses 12 and 13. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." The unjust and the filthy will have to meet the Lord, who will render to each of them as they have lived. The righteous and the holy will get to meet the Lord, who will render to them just as they have lived. And He renders to all because He is the beginning of all things and He is the ending of all things. Then finally, in verse 14, we have the seventh beatitude of the book of Revelation. John wrote, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Happy are those who do His commandments, for they will be able to enter the happiest place of all. They can walk right up to the tree of life, right after they have walked right through the angel-guarded gates. Can you tell me of a more blessed person than that? I can't think of one. On the other hand, cursed are those who are outside. Verse 15. "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices a lie." The vicious, those who vex the righteous, those who wallow in filth, the Bible says, are dogs and cursed. They shall not enter the city. And add to their number, sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and liars. They shall be kept outside, never to bother us again. Jesus is the one who's revealed this book. Jesus again spoke in verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." The entire book of Revelation is the word of Jesus. The parts in red and the parts in black. And Jesus has an angel whom He used to reveal these things because angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 14. "Therefore, brethren," did you hear what Jesus said here in verse 16? "Do not ignore the book of Revelation. He wants it proclaimed in the churches. And this is one reason why I, through these several months, have preached through the book of Revelation. And I want to give two sermons as reviews. I don't think I'll do that next Sunday. And the Lord's Day after that, I'll be in Idaho. And then I'll be here for one Lord's Day. And then Karen and I'll be in vacation in Colorado for the last two Sundays in May. So either in that second Sunday in May or in June, I will give you one just as a regular sermon. But then the second one I'll give in the evening. And I want to present that as a picture sermon. I've gathered a bunch of artwork and had to buy some that's all based on the book of Revelation. And I want to show those things to you and just kind of summarize it in that way. But Jesus is the one who revealed these things. And He said that He is the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is as lowly as a root and as glorious as a star. So then some others do some speaking here. In verse 17, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Did you hear who is inviting you? The Holy Spirit came right out and said, Come. I want you to up here. I want you to take part in this. And the bride of Christ, which is the church, is we're saying to one another and we're saying to the world, come. Come drink from this river that's flowing right out of the throne of God. You here invite people to come, He is telling us. Do you know people who are thirsty? Invite them to come worship with us. Invite them to come to the Bible classes. He doesn't want this just for the church. He wants people out in the world to enjoy these things too. Invite your family and your friends and your neighbors and other people you know in town. We want them to be a part of this too. Now, He gives a warning here. Do not tamper with the book of Revelation, verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. No one is above the message of the book of Revelation. Therefore, he said, do not add to this book. Has God left out some vital information? If anyone adds to this book, he says, God will add to him all the wrath that we've been reading in this book. And we don't want that for anyone. Even our harshest critic or our meanest enemy, we do not want that person to experience these things. Please don't add to the Word of God. Do not take away from this book either, he said. Are there parts that we wish God had not spoken? If anyone takes away from the words of this book, he says God will take away from that person three things. Number one, his part from the book of life. Number two, his part from the holy city. And number three, his part from all the good things we've been reading about in this book. Well, two more verses to go. What does God have to say? Verse 20 is the last spoken words of Jesus. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. One of the last things that Jesus wants us to remember is that He is coming quickly. Therefore, be prepared at all times. This is a sure thing He wants us to know. It is guaranteed. It's not an empty promise. It's not merely a threat. He really is returning. And we shall see Him with our own eyes someday, brethren. And we shall hear His own voice. Not just, you know, through the pages of Scripture. Be prepared at all times. And John agreed with the words of Christ and desired for their fulfillment. So let us say amen to the promise that Jesus returned quickly. Then, verse 21, the last statement of the book of Revelation, the last statement of the Bible, the last thing that God wants us to know. Dear God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, what is the last thing, the last sentence you want to say to us? Here it is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We surely need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ as we face ferocious enemies, whether it was the beasts of the Roman Empire or the beasts who fight against the church now. It is the grace of Jesus that both sustains us and makes us more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Man, with John, we say amen. Do you not agree? Amen, John. We say amen to the book of Revelation, and we say amen to the Bible. And we would like to say amen to your obedience. You've seen how God has laid it out very clearly in this last chapter of the Bible. You've got to keep His words. You must do His commandments. We read those tonight. Are you ready to keep His words? Do you want an encouragement or help in obeying Him? That's what we're here for. And don't think that it's inconvenient. I know sometimes people think that, well, I don't want to bother anyone. Bother us. Please bother us. You know, who cares if it makes the service go longer if you need to be baptized or need to talk? And if someone has to go, they'll go and the rest of us will stay. And if it happens at 1 o'clock this morning, you're thinking, you know, I've been reading all that and hearing these sermons and so forth, and I'm on the outside, and I don't want to be on the outside. What do I do? I don't want to bother anyone. Bother us. My home phone number is 476-8217. Well, I was going to give you Nathan's and the elders too, but I'll let them decide to do that. But just, man, call us. Send an email. Write a letter. Bang on the door or something. We're ready. Are you? Come forward right now as we stand and sing.